The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Fianna Fáil TD Paddy O'Sullivan has said delays in accessing treatments for rare diseases, including Friedreich's ataxia, are doing irreparable harm to patients. Here he was speaking to Shane Beattie on News Talk's breakfast briefing earlier this morning.
So for me, the NCP, as I said, does very well at delaying things, stalling things, and I suppose ultimately we do save money because of that. But that can mean typically many of our patients could be waiting 2, 3, up to 5 years behind their EU comparators. Other countries, Denmark is probably a very good model to mention, would provide for early access programs where negotiations can actually happen while patients actually avail of the drugs.
That's Paddy O'Sullivan there, Fianna Fáil TD. I'm joined by Michael Barry, Clinical Director with the National Centre for Pharmacoeconomics, and Emily Felix, who has Friedreich's ataxia. Michael, first of all, your reaction to what Paddy O'Sullivan was saying there, that you do a good job at delaying things for patients, and he thinks that that does irreparable harm to those people.
I disagree fundamentally with that, Claire. There is no evidence to suggest same. And if we take, for example, the drug under question, Skyclarys, and which is over ovamiloxazone, if you look at the time frame of that, that drug received EMA approval on the 9th of February 2024. 27 months later is up to now. The time that the assessment, that the NCP assessment took, was 5 months. That's 18.5% of all the time. The majority of delays, and I keep saying this, the majority of the delays are down to the company themselves. It took them 6 months to engage with the HSE. It took them another 9 months to submit the dossier to us. And since our assessment was completed, they have taken up another 4 months of negotiation. So this is what's being put out, that it's the NCPE delaying things. It isn't. And a lot of people know that, including Mr. O'Sullivan. I wish he'd acknowledge it. He's wrong.
So you get a price from the drug company, is that right? And then the negotiation starts. You're saying that the delay is on their side.
Absolutely. The delay is there. Anyone can see it. I mean, it's on the website. It's in black and white. The time frame is clearly outlined. They received, as I say, a marketing authorization on the 2nd of August in 2024. As I say, we're now over 2 years down the road. And, it's been delay after delay on their behalf. Uh-huh. And that's the truth.
So you're not saying that the drug isn't effective. You're not saying that it won't bring benefit to patients.
Now, our assessment is another issue. When we assessed this drug, we came to the conclusion that it can improve some activities of daily living. And that's important when you're dealing with a severe condition like Friedreich's ataxia. What we are also saying is that there is no evidence that it prolongs life, that it impacts on mortality, and there's a real question as to whether it improves quality of life. So we're saying, yes, it works, but the benefits are modest. And unfortunately, they're in no way related to the cost that the company is charging for this drug.
Can you tell us how much it costs?
Yes, I can. The cost per patient per year is €280,000. That's enormous. The budget impact over 5 years was calculated at 134 million. My belief is that it's probably closer to 163 million, and it's not remotely cost effective. So there isn't really a good relationship between the benefits that one would obtain and the cost that they're charging. And of course, the answer is very simple here. And I've always said this, you can get your medications reimbursed very quickly in Ireland if you price them fairly. And that is not happening here, and it hasn't happened across a whole host of medications. And, you know, it's all very well for Mr. O'Sullivan to be suggesting that we should pay up front for these drugs for rare diseases. If we look at the stats from last year, if we did that, it would add another €350 million to the drugs budget over 5 years. Mm-hmm. That's what you're talking about. And of course, it's taxpayers' money, not their own, that they're spending. So it's very easy to say these things.
He makes a point, and he's written a press release on this. More than 4 billion euro is spent on drugs, but less than 1% is going towards new medicines, including treatments for rare diseases. That needs to change. Is he right there, do you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the amount of money that, yes, that is the one thing we'd probably agree on. The amount of money that's available for new drugs is 30 million a year. And the drugs budget is over 4 billion. Yeah, that is correct. But that's a policy decision. That's not nothing to do with the NCPE. That's a policy decision. If people decide that they want to spend lots more, they can do it.
You have to work within those parameters. But he's, go on.
Yeah, we have to work within those parameters. But the amount of money that's made available for new drugs each year, that's got nothing to do with us. Our role is to assess the individual drug and advise on its value. And then it's up to the other actors in the process to negotiate prices and to if they want to increase the amount of money available for new drugs, well, we'll go ahead and do that. But, I mean, our position is that we look at the value and we tell people about the value. We don't make the decisions.
Mm-hmm. We're still blocking, he says, access to life-changing treatments while other countries move ahead. Is that fair?
No, it isn't fair at all. And go back to this drug. There is no evidence that this drug prolongs life. There is none. And if you look at
But you said
countries,
yourself it can improve daily living. Like, that's huge for somebody with a condition like Friedreich's ataxia.
Oh, Claire, I'm not saying that. I'm not belittling that. But I think to come out and say that you're having an effect impacting on the mortality is something else. I mean, what we need to look at is if you look at the international experience with this drug, many agencies around Europe and indeed in Australia rejected this product simply because they felt it wasn't offering as much value as they wished for. If you look at on the 9th of March this year, NHS Scotland rejected the drug. NICE rejected the drug, and there's a further submission being made. So, and we're seeing similar across other European countries. So the fact of the matter is, the company really needs to step up here. They have a product that certainly improves the activities of daily living. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. But they're charging an astronomical price for it. And, you know, the HSE has to deal with all the other areas that are, you know, require input, be it mental health, disability, whatever, acute care. They've got to cover all of these things. And if you spend money in one area, then it's not going to be available in another.
Yeah, and people will wonder, because we hear this time and again, that Ireland is at the end of the food chain, if you like, for these drug companies, because we have a small population, getting it here can be a problem, and so on. Why don't we negotiate as one with our EU counterparts?
We do in some certain circumstances, for example, the Benelux arrangement, where we were associated with Austria, Belgium, Netherlands, Luxembourg, but that was only for a few medications, one for spinal muscular atrophy. That is a possibility. It appears to be a very good solution. In practice, what I've seen, it has limited benefit, to be honest with you. At the end of the day, you're going to have to assess for your own health service, you know, what is this drug offering, mm-hmm. and what are they charging?
But you can do that. You can do that assessment, independently. But when it comes to buying it, would it not be better to hook up with other buyers?
You could do that, so far that's only happened for a few drugs, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it is a potential way forward, but it needs more traction, obviously, than what is happening at the moment. Okay. So right now we're negotiating on our own.
Well, Professor Michael Barry, I know you're going to stay on the line because Emily, as I said, is with us. Emily Felix, who has Friedreich's ataxia. Emily, you're very welcome to the program, and thank you for being with us. You've heard what Michael has had to say about this drug. What do you say? What's your response?
Thanks for having me, Claire, anyway, to speak on this issue. I suppose, first and foremost, I'm not an economist, and I'm not going to come from that point of view, but I am an ordinary person whose life is being consistently and progressively destroyed by this disease. And there is an effective, proven to be effective treatment out there that can slow the progression of this disease by over 55%. And as someone living with a progressive disease, that is hugely significant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think I deserve it. I really, really don't agree with the fact that my life is being reduced to a cost effectiveness figure. Much more than that. So, my life is much more than that. I deserve a future.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose Michael is dealing with the fact that he has a limited budget. This costs 280,000 per patient per year, which I know is really difficult for you to hear, you know, that this is down to figures and to money and so on. Can you see the logic in that argument at all?
I understand it's a huge cost and I'm realistic about that. But I suppose there's a few different elements to that. Like, firstly, by not funding the drug, you're just rolling down the cost to the future. Like, I most likely will need 24/7 care. I will be in hospital a lot more. Like, all of these are going to have huge costs on the state.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that has been included, if an analysis has been included by Michael Barry in his recommendation on that.
Well, we can ask Michael. Do you take that into account, Michael, when you're making your drug assessment?
Yes, Claire, we do. All the costs, all the benefits are taken into consideration when you're doing these assessments, and that's why they take time, because you want to do them properly and you want to do them in great detail, and it does. But I agree with Emily. I mean, like, we're not disputing the fact that the drug can benefit. I think it's the magnitude of that benefit, which is the question. But, you know, we've seen in other areas of rare diseases recently where manufacturers have come in with really good price offerings and the drug is made available. And no doubt it'll be the same here, but they really do need to get realistic about it. And I would hope that they would think about people like Emily and come in and make a decent proposal. And the HSE has never been found wanting when realistic offers have been made and we make it available to people like Emily. Absolutely. And I hope that's what happens, of mm-hmm. course.
And Emily, do you think that the argument ultimately is with the drug companies rather than
that our own
people who are looking after taxpayers' money?
No, firstly, I am a taxpayer. I've worked for the last 4 years full time. I am a taxpayer. My parents are taxpayers. So that argument, I think, is fundamentally insulting. But anyway, another point I'd like Michael to answer is when he made the recommendation saying no to the drug, he included in it that the current standard of care for people with Friedreich's ataxia is best supportive care, and that involves the management of our symptoms through OT, physio, speech and language therapy, and ongoing regular neurological and cardiac care. This doesn't exist. I don't know if Michael Barry looked into this, but this does not exist. Any service I have ever received in my life, I've had to fight for. I haven't had speech and language therapy in over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
My speech is progressing rapidly. This year I've had to record my voice on a speech app so that when the inevitable occurs, that there is something that sounds like my voice for my family to hear, that it's not scary for them.
Mm-hmm.
I had to think outside of my own wants and my own needs, I had to think about my family. So that's one element of speech and language therapy. Then neurological and cardiac, that should be yearly. That is not yearly. I haven't had my heart checked since January of last year. So for all I know, my cardiac function could have progressed rapidly in the year, which is part of Friedreich's ataxia. It is systemic, it is relentless. Every aspect of your neurological function is affected. Every muscle, my speech, my hearing, my eyesight, my upper limb strength, my lower limb strength. I have severe nerve pain every single night. It wakes me up. I have muscle pain. It's just relentless.
So,
It's ravishing my body.
and your point is that the care, as far as you're concerned,
It doesn't exist.
isn't there
It doesn't
that you
exist.
need.
He's making a recommendation on a system that doesn't even exist. He hasn't taken into account the lived experience of any of us living with this awful, awful disease.
Okay, Michael, do you want
He's meeting
to
on cost.
Sorry, Emily, to cut across you, but I do feel
Yeah.
I need to offer Michael the opportunity to respond to that, Michael.
Yeah, that's very hard to hear, isn't it? That I mean, clearly, I would have hoped that Emily received all the supports that that she needed. Indeed, everybody with Friedreich's ataxia. You, as you know, Claire, I don't have any role on providing such supportive care for this condition or indeed any other condition. But clearly, yes, of course, you'd want it to be made available. In terms of the analysis, we included costs, assuming that support would be there. That actually makes the drug more cost effective, because if you didn't include any costs, then it would be even less cost effective. So, but look, as I say, from my perspective, I just hope the company does the right thing, comes in with a decent price offer, and enables the HSE to pay for this drug, and people like Emily can get access to it.
Okay. All right. We'll leave it there for now. But thank you both for speaking to us. Emily Felix, who has Friedreich's ataxia. Thank you so much, Emily, for telling us about your day-to-day life. And Professor Michael Barry, who's Clinical Director with the National Centre for Pharmacoeconomics.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.